Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into the Labatt Blue Studio. It's time for the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. If you bleed blue and white,
you better be drinking blue and light.
And with this weather we have here, Andrew, it's not a bad idea, is it? Anyway, you can catch all of Keystone Kickoff Football Talk on our app, Keystone Sports, or you could also find us now on Spotify. I'm Jim Galante. I'm joined by Andy Shea. The big guy, Ross, will be joining us soon. How you doing, Andy?
Good. Good. How are you, Jim? No Bob Flounders this week. Big Ten Media Days.
He's
got
him
busy.
Big Ten Media, so hopefully next week he'll have lots of news to report, stories to tell, and tell us of his and Greg's escapades in Chicago.
Yeah, I forget, not to throw us under the bus. Who is out there for Penn State? Blake Gillikin,
John Reed,
that makes sense.
Cam Brown, I believe.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. Because, I mean, we know James always takes seniors. Boys, Cam Brown look good. Oh, man. Yeah.
Well, we'll be asking you about that. I assume you saw him at the Lift for Life event last week, which we're going to get to in our news and notes. In quarter number two, we're going to get to Ross's scouting report in Tucker's Tape. He's going to tell us about two recent commits, Tyler Elsden and Fatorma Mulba, who are both Pennsylvania kids. So.
Both a couple of three-star Pennsylvania kids.
Yes.
One's a little bit more of a project than the other one. One's an intriguing three-star at one position and one position only. So we'll get to that in quarter two.
Yeah, we'll get to that with Ross. And I'm intrigued. I think the whole anguish Penn State fans have had over the recruiting, I think these two guys represent that, and I'd like to talk to Ross about that. In quarter number three, obviously, this is your chance to take over. We have questions for Ross that came from you, our listeners. And in quarter number four, we're going to do something where we look at the redshirt freshmen. It's very easy to look at the true freshmen coming in. They're the shiny new toy.
Exactly.
Last year's freshmen who played, people like Micah and Freiermuth. But what gets forgotten oftentimes are those redshirt freshmen who maybe just needed a year to get ready and were behind somebody on the depth chart. So we're going to talk about those folks. But let's start with our news and notes. Andy, I'm curious. You, of course, are part of the Uplifting Athletes Group,
yep,
which is the umbrella company for the Lift for Life organization.
That's one of our signature. That is our signature event for our chapters, yes.
So another successful event, I take it?
17th Penn State Lift for Life was Friday, July 12th, 5 o'clock in the afternoon, back to Arts Fest weekend. My first time wandering around Arts Fest ever. Interesting.
Really?
Yeah, that's
a nice time.
Interesting. Good crowd. It was a regular workout, which was interesting. You know, the last couple of years of Lift for Life was on a Saturday, and they kind of, you know, had done their hard work and, you know, their summer workouts up through Friday. And it was at 5 o'clock on a Friday night was the Lift for Life. So the strength coach was going to do the real workout in the morning, and then just, you know, it was more of a show. And the chapter president of Penn State, that would be potentially your starting quarterback, Sean Clifford, was like, well, why are we doing two workouts? And strength staff was like, we can do one. Why are we working out at 6 a.m. in the morning at 5 at, you know, we're going to have to go. Why don't we just do the workout at Lift for Life? And strength staff was like, sure. So there was some huffing and wheezing going on that would be more, if you know, retro Lift for Life, it would be more like the old events. They put them through their paces, but it was a great event. Fans got to see it. They did an autograph session, gave out the new schedule poster that folds up into a helmet, which I think is really stupid. It's really cool, but it's also really stupid because then you have to make somebody figure it out by reading instructions on the back. But they had a good autograph session. They had a great kids camp, like 75 kids signed up for it. So it was a really good event.
Well, let's talk the important points, though, here. Anybody stick out at the event? Anyone impress you?
Right off the bat, I mean, oh, my gosh, the linebackers. The linebackers, we know about the linebackers. We've talked about the linebackers. But, I mean, you see them in person. You see Jan Johnson, Cam Brown, Micah Parsons, Jesse Luketa. Man, is that guy. He was always a physical-looking stud. He's reframed his body. He looks really good.
Let me interrupt you there. Earlier this week, we played the portions of the press conference with Dwight Gault.
Afterward.
Yes. And everybody else that he talked about, reporters asked about, Luketa was the only one that Gault brought up on his own.
Right.
And just he gave some of his numbers, his improvements, just been phenomenal.
He looks really good. I also know what Bob Flounders is talking about when it comes to Shane Simmons. I'm like, wow, that guy does look the part. But the linebackers, even the Lance Dixon, Brandon Smith, the linebackers, you know, you watch them put through their paces. They're fast. They're athletic. They look strong. They look big. They stand out. There's like six or seven of them. And even Charlie Catcher, I was like, who's going to fill in a deep reserve role and probably be a special teams player? I mean, I knew him in high school, and he was a pretty put-together kid in high school. He looked really good. The linebackers were the first thing that jumped out to me. The second thing was, because he was a chapter president, and you listen to everything, Sean Clifford is ready to be the starting quarterback for this football team. Just listening to everybody talk about him, listening to him, you can just see that he is a leader of this team already. Just in that team environment, you can sort of tell that he's not, because he is the quarterback, but also because he is the quarterback, that he's the guy. Like, you can just feel that when you're around the team, like, that's their guy. So I think he's more than ready to be the quarterback. I love listening to Ricky Slade talk. Ricky Slade looks really good to me. He looks ready to be a quote-unquote feature back, although what you know from Penn State in the last 2 years is a feature back. It's not going to look the same. I loved listening to his interview. He talked about clearly that the offense is going to be designed with the running backs catching more passes this year as a group. He also talked about running back by committee and how important he thinks it is, and that it'll be an asset for them because they have so many different kinds of running backs that he thinks that they're stronger together than any one individual. He has no problem with it. But I've said all along that this offense functions best when the feature of the James Franklin offense is the running back and the slot receiver. That's just when it operates at its fullest potential, the focus is on the running back and the wide receiver. And Ricky Slade even said, we didn't get to talk too much. We didn't get to catch many passes last year because of injuries and we were thin. And we figured that out as the season went along. I think the running backs are ready, and I think Ricky Slade looks really good.
That's good to hear. Even if it is running back by committee, I think Ricky Slade's going to head the committee.
Correct. He's the head. He's the feature guy, but I don't think he's a carry the 90 to 95% of the low guy.
But he'll be the lead guy, though.
Yes, agree, 100%.
All right. A couple notes here, Andy. It's award nominee time for best all-around player, which is the Maxwell Award. KJ Hamler was nominated for that. Nice little honor.
He's on the watch list.
Recognized. And also for the Bednarik Award for Best Defensive Player, both Gross Matos and Parsons were nominated for that.
I would think Etor would be an easier nominee than... I would think you'd say, oh, well, Etor makes perfect sense. Micah, don't forget, Micah led him in tackles last year. Time sharing and just figuring it out. Get ready. He might be a semifinalist for that award.
Okay. Those are nice honors, don't get me wrong. But the one thing we got to remember when they talk about nominees for both these awards, there are 80 nominees.
Yeah, there's a ton of them.
It's a nice honor, but let's remember what it means. Also, I saw this week, and I think this is relatively new, but Westgate came out with their point spread for Penn State Pitt and has Penn State as a 14.5-point favorite. Real early, of course, but what's your reaction feels to
like
that?
It feels like a big number. I mean, it's double digits and more than two touchdowns. Two touchdowns is – that line's meant to entice bettors to start. I don't think it's indicative of the quote-unquote football game. I think that's a enticing early line to get bettors to either get on one side of the fence or the other, to move the money one way or the other to move the line, right? But I also think that it also says that it starts that high because – this isn't indicative of Penn State. I don't think this line's indicative of Penn State. I think the 14.5 line is indicative of the modern college football game in 2019. The University of Pittsburgh Panthers are not very good at it.
Okay, so...
they're just not very good at modern college football. They don't play a modern college football game, and I think the 14.5-point spread that's the early line is it's an indicator for Pitt more than any indicator to me for Penn State.
Welcome in, Ross. I wanted to get you in on this conversation. Westgate Casino just came out with a spread for the Penn State Pitt game. Did you hear the number yet?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'm a little surprised. A
little high.
Yeah, I mean, and I understand Andy's point about Pitt's offense. I'll just say a couple years ago, that offense ran right down Penn State's throat.
They did.
And tore them up. I would also say Pitt was not a terrible team last year. I mean, didn't they end up in the ACC championship game?
With a sterling 7-7 record.
How did that happen? So,
have you seen their half of the conference?
Who is it again? You know, that's one of the things that really is a shame, just as an aside here, with everything that happened with all the college movement. I don't even like. It's Coastal and something else.
Atlantic and Coastal.
And it used to always be like Clemson and one, and Virginia Tech and the other, right? Or like Clemson and Florida State and one, Virginia Tech and the other. But
right.
That Virginia Tech's not good. So it
Florida State's not good. Georgia Tech's not good.
I think UVA might be the favorite in that half of the conference.
UVA's in that half. Yeah, Louisville's in that half.
Because they have Bryce Hall from Bishop McDevitt, who's like the number one defensive back in the country. It's absolutely crazy. No, that line's – I mean, if I had to put money on it right now, I'd put money on Pitt. That line's a little rich for me. Early in the year with all the Penn State changes –
all right. Well, that is it for quarter number one. You're going to hear more from Big Ross next quarter. He's going to give us a couple scouting reports.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon, stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today. 409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.